Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the Ed Up Experience podcast, where we make education your business. This is Joe Sallustio back with you on another episode. We have been podcasting all day today, and we've got amazing people continually coming to the microphone. What they say, always have your A game ready. Check up from the neck up, because everyone has to be good, right? You have to be good in front of students. You have to be good in front of your colleagues. And my energy is high. I got halfway through a venti soy milk latte with triple shot, so I'm feeling pretty good right now. We're going to have a conversation about technology. I've got a very amazing guest in front of me who's going to tell me the answers to all the hard questions plaguing our industry today. She's going to give them with great accuracy. She's going to give us her opinion about what's happening in and around higher ed today. Let's get her to the microphone. Here we go. Her name is Anna Vakulik, Deputy CIO at George Washington University. Anna, what's going on?
It is great to be here today. You bring a lot of energy. This is exciting, especially at the end of the day.
Well, thank you, because I'm really trying to make it that it's so high right now. We had the pleasure of meeting you last night, talking about some of the work that you're doing at George Washington University, storied university out there, your deputy CIO. This is a big university. Give us an idea, GW, how big? Tell us about your role a little bit.
Right. So George Washington University is based in Foggy Bottom, Washington, D.C. We have a hospital associated to our university. We are about 28,000 students. We offer great programs in medicine and nursing. We have a campus on our Ashburn in Ashburn, Virginia. And I'm the deputy CIO. So we have a shared services IT organization. So we deliver all of the IT to the entire university. And it's a big job. Busy all the time.
Amazing.
A shared services IT organization. Tell me how this works.
Right. So a lot of universities have decentralized IT. A lot of colleges and schools have their own IT organization. That was what we had until 2020. Never waste a pandemic. Never waste
never
an opportunity. So we took the opportunity to move into a shared services organization. We brought in all of that external IT into central IT. We now do all of the academic technology, all the classroom support into the schools. Bumpy ride, definitely through a pandemic as well, doing it in a hybrid environment. But we also had a reduction in our headcount during that time. And so we're kind of still recovering, but we're coming back strong and thriving and looking how we can leap forward.
Reduction in your headcount because people left the industry because you had enrollment declines and dips and you're recovering, or just because it was a crazy time or what?
Yeah, crazy time, pandemic.
Yikes!
Yeah, loss of revenue when it comes to summer housing. We have a lot of buildings in D.C. that we rent out through the summer.
Yeah.
So it was just an opportunity to kind of right-size the organization. But the problem is we had a lot of decentralized IT that we still had to consolidate in. So while we did it in a couple months, it actually is living 3 years longer than we really intended. So we're doing a lot of that cleanup, a lot of standardization. But now we're just looking at how we can leap forward, right? I don't want to keep going at that slow pace. So it's time to move forward into things like SaaS and cloud.
Give me a idea of the scope of the shared services organization, like your IT department in general. Are we talking like 20 people? Are we talking 2,000 people? Like somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between. 200. We have about 260 people.
Wow. That's insane. I mean, that's a ton of people.
It is, but we could use a few more.
Yeah, right? Well, it's a ton of people without understanding the full scope of what they're doing. When you just think of in terms of how many people you need to service that infrastructure, that's a big team.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're focusing on those opportunities like cloud and SaaS that will free up some of those back-end resources, and we can move them more into the front end. So dealing with the classroom, dealing with faculty, instructional, academic technologies and things like that, LMS, that's where we want to move. That's where the value is for the university.
So you're servicing multiple locations then? Multiple schools and locations?
Yeah, mostly in D.C.,
right.
But we do have a couple of small campuses in like Alexandria and in Maryland, things like that. But
does each unit want the same things?
Of course not.
Right. So how do you balance that? What you're giving to one, you're just blanketing across the users. Are you going, well, this group of people needs this. This needs this. Because then it's like your tracking spreadsheet on who's using what. It's difficult in IT a lot of times to know who's using what, how often it's being used, how many users there are, how many licenses we have. It's a lot of tracking involved.
I kind of use the phrase, you know, you have the haves and the have-nots. And so over the years, some of the schools that were more rich bought a lot of the handhold, you know, the white glove service. And then the schools that were the have-nots struggled. And so in a shared service organization, we try to deliver the same level of service to everybody. And then, yes, you have kind of the special areas. You know, obviously our College of Engineering is a higher tech, you know, demand on us. And so we provide some extra and different services to them. Our medical school has a lot of tech needs as well. So, you know, you have to tailor it to each school and to their demand. It's also kind of set for the strategic plan for the university and where the provost wants, you know, our academics to be going.
One of the things that I've had this, I don't know how many CIOs I've had on this week, and I'm asking typically this same question, and I'm getting really different answers. There's a balance of there was always a balance in being a CIO or deputy CIO, but it used to be, let's say pre what we understand artificial intelligence to be, like LLM and all that, where you were stabilizing operations, you were bringing in technology, you were making it work. It was very inward focused. And now things are exploding outwardly, right? LLMs, and you've got your AWSs and all these other technologies going on around us. So you have to balance this inward focus to make things work and the outward focus strategically with foresight to go, okay, we've got to be ready for what's coming. It didn't used to be like that. Maybe it was always like that, but not at the speed at which it's moving now. How do you balance? I mean, the balance is such an important part of what you do.
Yeah. So I always say, you know, if you think about it, my team gets tired of me here saying this, but, you know, never have I ever heard a student say, you know, I think I'm going to pick my school and the university that I want to go to, man, you should see their data center.
Epic.
And they do some awesome business continuity and disaster recovery. And their audit plan, amazing.
The data lake, I can't swim in it, but it looks great.
Right? No one says that. So we're never going to hit rankings. We're never going to be known for how well we run this data center.
Right.
We've got to get out of that business. So that's where partnering with companies like Ellucian, partnering with AWS, companies like that, that we can get out of that type of business, stop focusing on internally, right, and be able to reposition those people externally and build services that actually add value to the university rather than running servers.
What about
artificial intelligence?
What about it?
Right. We want to get to it, right? Yeah. Like, who has time for that right now? We're keeping servers warm. Right.
Yeah.
Keeping them warm, cheap, trying to keep them cool. But
this is the thing. Like, your average user is like, I'm going to take this sensitive data and stick it in an LLM. And IT departments are going, no.
Right. I mean, you know, that's what we really are trying to focus on data.
Yeah.
We really think the central of everything that we do is about data. It's our data lake, building out a data lake. Our ERPs, great. That needs to happen. That's the transactions. But what's the data behind that? How can we do analytics against it? And then you start talking about AI. You got to have good data for it. I mean, we heard that this morning, you know, bias happens not because of the system, but it's the data that
garbage in, garbage out, right? Like that's the,
so we're really trying to build out a data team to focus on that. We've got a strong analytics team, but getting into data governance, making sure that the organization knows that they're responsible for the data and where it goes and understanding that once you let that out of the organization, you can't get it back.
It's not yours anymore, right? It's everyone's.
Nailed it.
What's keeping you up at night right now? Security, cybersecurity. I mean, I will tell you, you know, we talk about this a lot, but higher ed has a lot of holes, right? It's really weak infrastructure from an infrastructure perspective. Schools are getting shut down because they're getting hacked and stuff. Is that something? Is it the AI piece and how you integrate it? Is it the, you know, what's the thing you're like on your mind when you're going to sleep at night?
Yeah, I think we've definitely been in a situation where, again, I want to clean up the infrastructure. I want to clean up our inward focus. So I think that's what keeps me up at night, because that would free us and unlock the potential to talk about the AI and the next things that are coming. So yes, cybersecurity I think is something that's really important that we need to do better with. But to me, I think about how we're going to do that, right? Because, you know, we don't have as many resources as we'd all like to have, but partnerships. Mm. And so finding partners that can work with us. Where we meet us where we are. Sometimes that's meeting us where our budget is.
Yeah,
right?
That's absolutely a big part of it. And, not sometimes, all the time.
Right, and growing, right, and being able to talk risk to the organization, to the leadership team. But that's where we've seen success, is when we talk about enterprise risk. That's where the funding can happen.
Tell them like it is.
What's the future look like for higher ed? I mean, you see schools closing. You know, your institution's probably not one of those. You guys are pretty successful, but enrollment is still an issue, right? We want to get to 30,000 or 32,000 and grow enrollment. You guys have a storied history. You have great programs, great outcomes. Institutions can get stuck in this loop where you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over. What's change look like for the organization? What do you see going forward?
Right. So the other exciting thing is that we're in a beta program with Lucien on their journey. So I don't know if you saw that here.
I have seen it. I saw it a while back, actually, because I had the privilege of knowing some of the secret. Don't tell anyone, but I got to see it like 6 months ago. It was really cool.
Too.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I won't tell if you don't tell. super cool.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
so the opportunity for non-degree, non-credit programs. And, but specifically for me, I mean, we've done non-credit, we do non-credit, right. Or non-degree, but the exciting part is that skill mapping piece.
Yes.
Right. And so being able to map skills to what you're coming out with a degree on and being able to see where there's adjacent skills, but boy, if you just extended your degree with a couple extra classes or your job opportunities just expand.
Yeah.
Right. I think about it. I came out of college and I felt really great. I graduated. I had a big four accounting firm recruiting me. I'm set. Right.
Oh yeah. Forever.
And they said, hey, that's nice. We're going to send you to training for 3 months. I'm like, I just did 4 years of, what do you need me to train me in? There were skills. I mean, there were specific skills that they wanted to know that I had. I didn't have them coming out of college. And so I think that skill mapping piece is really important. So I think, whether it's stackable credentials or just extending our reach to people who wouldn't normally come to GW because maybe a 4-year degree is too daunting, right? I know I have friends with kids that have chosen for right now, college isn't for me, right?
Yeah, but, is it because of the value of a degree or just because I'm not sure what path I want to take?
Yeah, I'm 18 years old. Maybe I have ADHD.
Yeah.
Maybe just I'm done with school.
Out of COVID too.
Coming out
kids.
Of COVID, right? 3 years later, they go back to school.
Yeah.
They're super successful, right? So why do we have to push them maybe right at 18? But there might be some skills that they can learn that lead them into a path. So I think for GW, it opens up opportunities for students that wouldn't normally look at us. It opens up opportunities for our current students to be able to make themselves more marketable in a super competitive environment, right?
Yeah.
Add to those skills. You come out with a degree with School of Nursing, what if you add analytics to it?
Mm.
Now we're talking healthcare administration, bed utilization, dashboarding, those kind of things, but you know nursing, right?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't know nursing, right? So I think those opportunities are good. And then, of course, connections to alumni, right? So they came, they had an undergraduate experience, they loved it. Maybe they want to come back for whether it's a graduate degree or even just some credentials that they want to get from GW. And they trust GW, right?
I like what you're saying. Maybe 3 years that you're going to go get a bunch of skills and then 3 years later you go, okay, you know what? I'm ready. I'm more ready mentally to go back and get my degree. Maybe even financially because I've gotten out and I've used those skills to get a job. I haven't just gone in and created a ton of debt for myself. The worst thing in the world is a directionless student who just incurs more classes. Yep. And you hear these students that have 146 credits on a 120 credit degree. And it's like, what happened? The amount of debt you put yourself in, that direction is important. And the only way to provide that direction is to map it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Journey does, is that maps it. So visually, I remember seeing the visual. I still could picture in my mind going, oh, that's cool. It lights up, tells me my pathway. And then I'm able to communicate those skills to an employer because it's all about jobs in the end, right?
Right. Because I think, I think that they come out of college and they've graduated and they can say, I have a bachelor's in X. But what skills translate? And so I think some of them they don't realize they're getting through some of the classes. So I think having, again, kind of an AI platform that backs that industry relevancy. I mean, some of these skills are going to spin up. They're not going to be there in 5 years, right? Like, I mean, my kids are going to go to college and they're going to be looking at careers that didn't exist when I went to college, right? So things are going to spin up quickly. We have to be agile for that. I think the skill mapping is a piece of that. It also will allow us to see where maybe we don't have programs where we should. We have a strength, but maybe there's some adjacent skills that, boy, if we could build out those programs, it would continue our reputation as an expert in that field.
Well, I want to thank you for coming over today and making time for me and the EdUp Experience podcast audience to say a little bit about what you do. I know that was kind of impromptu through our mutual connection, Cheryl over at Lead Squared, who's like, you got to get on there. I'm like, yes, I want to get her on there. And then you came on. How did you feel? Have a good time?
This is fun. So fun. Yeah,
good.
I loved it.
Well,
this is great.
We loved having you here. Let me get you the outro that you deserve. Her name is Anna Vakulik. She is Deputy CIO at George Washington University. And there is no job harder than a CIO these days to keep their eyes on all the stuff that are affecting our institutions and the things that will affect us in the future. We appreciate the hard work that you're doing to serve students, Anna, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you.
Great. Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it.
All right. You know, everybody, remember,
be excellent to each other.
You've just ed upped.